Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, my co-host, Corey Waldron. What is up, Corey?
We're back to the regular season programming almost, right? And this is the preview series is over. Make sure you guys check that out. That was a lot of fun for all 30 teams. But now it's into more entertaining stuff.
Yeah, we are on the eve of the NBA season. You know, we're recording this on Monday. We're going to have opening night tomorrow. Very exciting. We did do our preview of all 30 teams, so now we're going to give our official predictions, you know, awards, playoffs, you know, finals winner and whatnot. But quick shout out to OTGBasketball.com. The staff has been doing an amazing job. You know, not only have we done the preview series, but we have our written preview series. We have articles across the board, you know, breakout player series, top storylines. You know, make sure you check out OTG. Also, check out all of our pods. We got the NBA Outlet, obviously, Full Access Hoops, JBT, Brooklyn Buzz. You know, plenty of pods to choose from. Be sure to check them out. And like I said, big shout out to the staff. But Corey, how excited are you for the NBA season to actually start?
Really excited. I'm not a big preseason guy. Like, I've watched a lot of LeBron in the preseason, a couple of the Pacer games.
It's easy when they got freaking five ESPN games for the Lakers. And
yeah, right. They were on every night, it felt like. And, you know, it's when the weather's changing, right? It's cold now. We're from New York, or you're in Connecticut now. We're up north, so it gets colder. And when it's cold, I want to be inside. And what better to do than watch basketball?
Exactly. And there's, like we've said, a ton of different storylines. We're going to talk about that in the next episode. But today we're going to do predictions. Corey, what do you want to start with, awards or playoffs first?
I say we do awards first. Let's build it up.
Okay. So we'll start off with Rookie of the Year, obviously fresh NBA player, a fresh name to talk about. Who's your pick?
All right. So I have to say, in the preview series, I said DeAndre Ayton. And it is no longer DeAndre Ayton. It's Luka Doncic. Dylan Jackson would be happy that I'm picking Luka. Luka has looked phenomenal in preseason, the highlights I've seen. He's like that slow-mo, sneaky fast, kind of like a Brook Lopez, for example. A guy who's just – he's not fast, but he just somehow gets by you and is elusive enough to make some plays. I think he's going to be big time. He looks really good.
I hate to start off the show with the same pick, but I'm going with Luka as well. Like you said, Dylan Jackson has been selling us on him all offseason, but obviously in preseason, you've seen a lot of great play, you know, craftiness, headiness, and like you said, able to kind of just – get past this defender, kind of almost outsmart him. And then I think the fact that he's going to go to a team like Dallas, who has some nice veterans around him, Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, DeAndre Jordan, who's a great alley-oop partner for him to get some easy passes around the rim. I'm really interested in seeing what Luka can do, and I think he'll be the best player from that draft class. What are some other names you expect to be in the mix?
I mean, I think DeAndre Ayton will be in the mix. I think them losing out on Devin Booker, depending on how much time he misses, I think that's going to be the only downside. But he's going to put up probably, you know, 15 and 10 easily. Harry Giles, another guy I'm intrigued on. He looks pretty good in preseason, finally healthy from having countless knee issues.
Yeah, numerous torn ACLs. It's nice to see him finally healthy in the NBA. And he's had some really nice passes, too, for a big. You know, I'm also going to say, you know, Marvin Bagley will probably have a chance as well. And I know, you know, your favorite player from the draft class, Trae Young, will have a shot, you know, because of just the amount of opportunity he'll have in Atlanta.
I have to say, Trae Young has impressed so far in preseason. I'm not changing my mind. I still think it's a 6-year thing, but he hasn't looked terrible.
Yeah, and I think like maybe a dark horse would be like Kevin Knox, because with the Knicks, you know, Porzingis being out, they're going to need someone to take shots. His shooting percentage hasn't been great, but there is some major explosiveness. So I think Kevin Knox would be another name to consider. There's always going to be some rookies that pop up, but I think Luka is going to be the easy choice and be the popular choice across the league, probably by almost the All-Star break. But defensive player of the year, who you got?
So I'm going with Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh.
I'm saying he comes back healthy. And, you know, being in the East, I think that Raptors team can have a really good record, which can also kind of bolster his the eyes on his game, if you will. And that team's going to be really defensive-minded already. And I just think if Kawhi's healthy, I think he has something to prove.
Yeah.
And I think for him, it starts on the defensive side of the ball.
Kawhi's definitely an interesting pick because I think Toronto just defensively as a group is going to be so good. It'll attract more attention to that name. I'm still a little probably worried about what Kawhi's going to be 100% wise and how much they're going to ask him to do offensively. I'm going to go with Draymond Green. You know, we've mentioned him before in the preview. You know, he's also talked about not getting enough respect in talking about defense. We know Golden State's going to be another great defensive squad. And if he kind of has some extra motivation this year, I think it'll be Draymond's, you know, year to win the award again. Also, some other names I think I'd look at would be Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid. Anybody else you think have a shot at it?
Yeah, the three names I had behind Kawhi were Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, and Anthony Davis in that order. I think those guys are always going to be in the conversation. Joel Embiid as well, you know, when he's been healthy and on the floor, he's a very good rim protector.
Yeah, and last year I think he finished top three, and there was some really good advanced stats that kind of said that Joel Embiid was a very big defensive presence. Now, moving on to sixth man of the year, who are you going with?
Now, it was officially announced today that Markelle Fultz will be the starter for the 76ers, which means J.J. Redick is the sixth man. And now I can officially say that my sixth man of the year is J.J. Redick.
Ooh, I like that pick. You know, he was a guy that I would definitely consider. I'm going to go with a repeat. I'm going to go with Lou Will again. And that's because I look at the Clippers and I see, like, they're still going to need him to put up a lot of points. They'll have Tobias Harris, but they're still going to need someone to score. You know, he's going to come off the bench. He's still going to get a shot up. Maybe his minutes might be slightly down, but I'm really excited to see what Lou Will can do again. And I think JJ is another guy to consider. You know, even Isaiah Thomas in Denver, if he can get right, you know, your guy Tyreek Evans, Dennis Schroeder, I think are a lot of different names to consider.
Yeah, I have Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, and Tyreek Evans as my dark horse or sixth man of the year. But you can't go wrong with Lou Will. He's obviously, as we know, a top flight scorer in this league.
He's silky smooth, too. He's really fun to watch. And we saw him catch fire like numerous times last year. Coach of the year, who are you rolling with?
For me, it's got to be the team I think is going to be the best regular season team, and that's Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics. He's my coach of the year. As we mentioned on the preview series, you know, best case scenario, that team could win over, you know, 65 plus games possibly with how deep they are. And I think it starts with Brad Stevens, who, as we know, a tremendous head coach.
Yeah, and you look at Brad Stevens, he's been getting a lot of hype the last few seasons, obviously well-deserved. And it feels like some of these awards are kind of like respect given after a few seasons. So I think it is Brad Stevens' year to win the award. And like you said, the Celtics are going to be a great team, super deep. And obviously managing all those minutes and egos is going to be a tough job. And I think Brad Stevens will do a great job doing it. What are some other names that will be in the mix?
Man, it feels like this is one of the categories where there's like six guys that are always in the conversation. So I think Mike D'Antoni is another name that will be in it. Steve Kerr, of course, with our Warriors team. Greg Popovich, depending on their success. I think Quinn Snyder is a guy who might get more talk this year. If that team stays healthy and Donovan Mitchell takes his game to another level, I think the Utah Jazz could be a top four team out west. And, you know, Quinn Snyder would probably be in the running for coach of the year. So those are brief a few of my picks. And then, you know, maybe Nick Nurse, first year in Toronto, if that team takes off and, you know, they win 58 games or somewhere around 60, then I could see him possibly being in the conversation as well.
Even though Toronto got the one seed last year, I think if they got it again this year with Nick Nurse, I think he'd get the award. You know, also, like you said, Quinn Snyder, another guy who's been kind of earning some respect over the last few seasons. And if they have a top three, you know, seed in the West, I think that'd really help his case. And like you said, Pop's always up for the award, especially with the injuries they already have at point guard. If he's able to get them in the playoffs and they have, you know, a 50-win season, I think he'll have a shot at it as well. Most improved player, who you're rolling with?
This one, Nick, I want you to start it off because I'm still on the fence because my one and two are neck and neck.
Okay. I would, you know, last year I went D'Angelo Russell. I wanted to pick him again, but I felt like stupid picking the same player, you know, twice in a row. And obviously last year it was kind of ruined because of injury. So I'm going to go with Brandon Ingram. I think obviously playing with LeBron is going to help him out. He's going to learn a lot from him. We've seen the work he's done in the offseason. And I just think, you know, with all the eyes on L.A., if Brandon Ingram were even to sniff an all-star game, I think it'd really help his case. And there's obviously hype with the Lakers. So I like Ingram.
Okay. So you made my choice either because I'm going to go against you because I had either Brandon Ingram or Markelle Fultz. So I'm going with Markelle Fultz. I think this is the year where he's healthy. Obviously, last year only played in 17 games. He was the youngest player ever to record a triple-double on game 82. I think this could be his year. Obviously, now he's starting, which means they've seen enough. I think Markelle Fultz is going to be most improved. But I do like Brandon Ingram. He, for me, it was really tough making this decision.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see Markelle Fultz winning as well. We've been kind of impressed what we've seen in preseason. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity, and he's able to kind of step his game up. That'd be big for the Sixers. You know, some other names I'm going to look at, I mentioned D'Angelo. I think my guy Caris LeVert honestly has a chance at it. You know, Josh Richardson, Jamal Murray. Any other names for you?
I mean, Miles Turner would be a hopeful to win this award. I think everyone
especially after that fresh contract.
Yeah, and right, just inked the 4-year, $80 million deal. So I'm sure everyone in Indiana is hoping that he jumps out. I'm hoping he jumps out. So he'd probably be another guy I'd look at. But I like all the guys you named.
And he was on that Oladipo workout plan, right?
Right, yeah. Well, him and Sabonis are jacked. Sabonis, actually, too. He could be in the conversation for most improved as well because he looked really good in preseason.
Yeah, there's always going to be guys, especially guys we didn't even mention, that'll probably make a huge jump this season. A lot of most improved, I think, depends on opportunity. And then, obviously, your supporting cast. But executive of the year.
Oh, wow. I forgot about it. I didn't write this one down. Executive of the year.
Yeah, I slipped that in there.
Let's see. Executive of the year.
I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go. I mean, I think it still could be Daryl Morey, but it feels like it's got to be the Warriors for getting Cousins.
I'm going to go with actually the Raptors, Masai Ujiri, you know, obviously getting Kawhi. You know, I think a lot of people looked at that roster and like, how could they upgrade? And the Raptors kind of sneak out of nowhere and get Kawhi. They have a really big season and they're able to go to the conference finals. I think obviously they're taking another step. And I think, you know, he's a guy you'd look at.
Yeah, I think I would lean towards probably Magic actually being executive of the year for getting LeBron James.
I mean, you get the best player in the world, you know, you're going to put your name in the hat, like you said. So I think you can't really go wrong there, you know, depending. It's going to obviously depend on who has the bigger season and who's like prospect really worked, you know, whose acquisition really worked out and looks like they're going to stay long term.
For sure.
MVP. This is obviously the biggest one.
All right. So I'm going to say my top three because I feel like I can't say just one without putting the other two in the conversation. So I think my winner is Antetokounmpo. I think this is Giannis's year to win it, especially in the Eastern Conference. He's going to be able to beat up on some of those lesser teams, you know, the Magic, the Hawks. I'm still not sure what to expect from the Hornets, even though they look pretty good in preseason. And, of course, the Knicks are going to be bad, and the Nets will be tough, though. So Antetokounmpo for MVP, and I think Anthony Davis is in that conversation, and I think LeBron James is a dark horse because I feel like he could have – a tremendous 16-year where we're just like, how is this guy defying the odds?
Yeah, and it's a different mix for LeBron. You know, the players he's playing with is different than what we're used to seeing him play with, so obviously there's different potential there. But I'm actually going to go with the same guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think obviously Coach Bud is going to help him out a ton. And then also just the steps we've seen him take every season, he looks super jacked as well. But like you said, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, then to a lesser extent, you know, James Harden or like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I think James Harden, like, I don't know, it feels like he deserved last year, don't get me wrong, but it feels like the hype has died down. Like, no one's really concerned about giving him MVP now. I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where there's so many guys in this conversation that once you get it, you're kind of out of the conversation.
Yeah, you have to do something again the next season that's even better than what you did to last year, exactly. Which it'll be pretty tough for him, but I think just by pure statistics, he'll have his name in the hat. Any other notes you want to mention on the awards before we move to playoffs?
No, I think we got it pretty much covered. Yeah, we're good.
So I'm going to review my picks real quick. Rookie of the year, I had Luka. Defensive player of the year, Draymond. Sixth man of the year, Lou Will. Coach of the year, Brad Stevens. Most improved, Brandon Ingram. Executive of the year, Masai Ujiri. And MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. You want to give them your picks again real quick?
So my rookie of the year is Luka Doncic. Defensive player of the year is Kawhi Leonard. Sixth man of the year is J.J. Redick. Coach of the year is Brad Stevens. Most improved is Markelle Fultz. Executive of the year is Magic Johnson. MVP is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, so we got a couple picks the same. It'll be interesting to see. I can't recall last year. I know I nailed the rookie of the year pick, but I'm not sure if I got any other picks correct. Actually, I might have got Rudy Gobert. Other than that, I think defensive player of the year and rookie of the year. Any for you that you nailed last year?
I think we both got MVP right. I think we both said James Harden.
I didn't give an official pick for MVP. I think you might have said James Harden. I know later in the season I definitely picked James Harden, but I didn't actually give a pick. I just sided with one of you guys, and gotcha. I want to say I picked Kawhi, and obviously that didn't really work out at all. So
yeah, you got actually right last year. I think I might have got the defensive player of the year, but I don't think so.
But you could obviously go check it out and talk shit to us if you want. It'll be on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com. So let's start. You want to start with the East or the West?
Start with the East.
The East? All right. You want to? We'll go team by team. So we'll start with the first seed. I think we're both going to probably agree on this. Celtics, you got a number one?
I do. I have the Boston Celtics number one.
Yeah, and this is obviously because of the depth they've had. We talked about Brad Stevens being coach of the year, obviously getting Kyrie back and Gordon Hayward. You know, there's a lot of potential for this team to maybe be the best team in the NBA, arguably if there is an injury in Golden State. Now, number two.
Number two for me is the Raptors.
Same thing over here. You know, you mentioned Kawhi getting back to a high level. And then obviously defensively, there's a lot of different weapons. And we know the bench squad, they lost Jakob Poeltl, but still plenty of pieces over there. I know Pascal Siakam's a big name to watch in Toronto this year off the bench. Number three, who you rolling with?
So I feel like we're gonna be different for the, probably not going to be different for the first time. I have the Sixers.
See, this is one I went with the Sixers, but this is one where I think is going to be super close. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers and the Bucks are like going at it, you know, to the last game of the season, because we picked Antetokounmpo to win MVP. So I think his win count has to get super high to have, you know, a chance to win that award. But I like the Sixers. I think obviously when you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and then Markelle Fultz, you know, making a jump, it'll be interesting if they make a move maybe at the deadline to add another veteran or pick up another buyout candidate like they did with Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova last year.
I agree. Yeah, the three was tough because I actually had the Sixers five at one point and the Bucks third. I ended up switching them at the last like 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, you look at the Celtics and Raptors at one and two, I think those could easily swap. And then you look at the Sixers and Bucks, I got the Bucks at four. You know, they could easily swap as well. But who you have at number four?
I have the Pacers at four.
Pacers at four?
Yeah, I'm rolling with them. I liked what I saw from Oladipo. And I'm perfectly okay with what they got. So I think they got better with Tyreek Evans, of course, another playmaker. I'm expecting them to be relatively the same record-wise, but because LeBron's gone, the Cavaliers are out of this top four that they slide up.
Now you said you picked the Pacers. Now, how do you feel like Antetokounmpo is going to win MVP if he doesn't get a top four seed? Do you think his numbers will just be incredible?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. See, Nick? Yeah. You're thinking deeper. Well, I mean,
that's why I really wanted to pick the Bucks to be number three because
that's what I'm flipping it then. I'm going with that because that fits my Antetokounmpo narrative. So Bucks three, Sixers are now five for me.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, you know, some people are expecting a little bit of drop off, losing some of the pieces we mentioned before. But I like the Sixers at number three. I like the Bucks at number four. And then number five, I like the Pacers. Like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers were able to sneak into that top three either, just because Oladipo, I think, will make an improvement. And then obviously getting Tyreek Evans, which feels like it's not being talked about a lot, but Evans had a really nice year last season. We talked about him a lot in the outlet.
Yeah, I mean, he actually kind of was a little shaky, I guess. In one of the games, he had a sprained ankle, though, so he wasn't at 100% health. But, I mean, I know that he didn't wow anybody in preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason, too. Not everyone's going to put, you know, their best foot forward as well. He's probably still learning his new teammates and learning the system a little bit, too.
Exactly.
I think the real question for the Pacers, and I know you probably agree with this, is, you know, how big of a stride is Miles Turner going to take? Is he going to become one of those, you know, elite centers? Is he going to really become aggressive and impact the game and have the opportunity to really dominate, especially in the Eastern Conference? Or is he going to kind of stay around the same level?
That, and I mean, also, I think it weighs heavily too, is did Oladipo actually get better? Like, is he a mini LeBron? Did his game actually take a jump that everyone who has seen him and talked to him has said that it has?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Oladipo, you know, him taking another step. But I would say, you know, even if Oladipo didn't improve, I think his supporting cast, like we've talked about before in the playoffs, you know, the Cavs did a great job double teaming him or making his life miserable. And the fact that now he has hopefully a Tyreek Evans healthy to help him in those situations, I think it'll be big. And even, you know, I know you weren't a big fan of the McDermott signing, but at least it'll give him some more 3-point shooting off the bench too.
He's looked okay. He's looked solid actually too. And his role. So I'm not saying it's good yet, but I'm saying I'm being persuaded.
Hey, you know, at least you can do is just give him a chance. Now, who do you have at number six?
Now, number six, don't cut my head off. I have the Washington Wizards.
I have the same thing. You know, I think the Wizards are a team that have a lot of potential. They're probably not going to hit that full potential, and they'll probably have stretches during the season where they look like they won't even make the playoffs, and obviously Dwight Howard and all that drama. But I think the sixth seed is realistic to expect from the Wizards.
Yeah, I'm obviously Dwight Howard has the butt injury.
Pain in the ass, as he called it.
Which is what he is, so it makes sense. But I think him and John Wall are going to be a lot of fun. I think that's the kind of center John Wall has always wanted. He's more athletic than Gortat. And as you've mentioned, I think Bradley Beal has more he can do in his game. I think he can take another step. The team's going to be solid. I think their bench is slightly improved. Obviously, every year it feels like we think their bench is going to be better and it ends up being trash. I know Bradley Beal. Please tell me you saw this.
Yes, like, I know what you're going with.
He compared Jeff Green to LeBron James.
Yeah. I mean, that maybe would have made sense in like year one or two where you like don't know what Jeff Green is. But obviously, Jeff Green's been in the league for a while and he's kind of killed all the hype around him. Hopefully, he can be a good bench player. And like you said, you know, Austin Rivers, you know, he improved in the Clippers. It's just how's he going to do in Washington? Now, who do you have at seven?
Now, for seven, I have the Detroit Pistons. And it was tough having me put them in the top eight, but I just can't see a scenario. If Reggie Jackson is healthy, this is the biggest question mark. If Reggie Jackson is healthy and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are also healthy, I think this team has a lot of, you know, star power to at least get them a low playoff seed in the East.
Yeah, I think, you know, having Blake and Andre Drummond is just enough to probably earn them a playoff spot. I have them at seven as well. Obviously, Reggie Jackson's health's going to matter a lot. Bring in Dwayne Casey, I think, will help too. Change up the offense, change up the defense a little bit, get them a little bit more focused, hearing a new voice. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're a team that kind of makes a move at the deadline, maybe trading a first-round pick or a young player, just because they're already kind of locked in the cap-wise because they have Andre and Blake to such big contracts already.
Now, I got to know, Nick, for the eighth seed, are you going with a team from New York?
No, I'm not. I'm not at this point in the season. You know, I really considered it. I probably have the Nets at number nine, to be honest. I think they'll be a team that's really going to keep fighting, but they have some really tough stretches in the season. And there's a lot of unknowns with the Nets. You know, obviously, if D'Angelo, Caris LeVert, and Jared Allen all made major strides, you know, I'd be able to really, you know, solidify them in the eighth spot. But right now, I think I have Miami.
Okay, and we have the same exact number eight as well. I have Miami as well. I think there's too much veteran presences on that roster. Eric Spoelstra's a great head coach, and who knows, maybe they'll get Jimmy Butler at some point.
Yeah. See, like, that's what I was considering the Jimmy Butler thing, but I think, like, the way the last conversation ended, you know, quote-unquote, Pat Riley called Thibodeau a motherfucker. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I know they said it wasn't true, but it sure sounds like it is. I think the Heat, and who do you think is more likely to fall out of the playoffs, the Heat or the Pistons or even the Wizards?
I think for me it'd be the Heat. I think I could see the Heat regressing heavily. You know, maybe Wade looks really old, and I mean, there's a lot of old guys in that team.
And that was a lot of injuries too last year.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guards. I don't know. I mean, their roster is strange. Not a ton of shooters either. I could see them struggling possibly. But still, you know, the teams that are playing for that eighth seed, they're not that great to begin with.
Yeah, I could see Miami falling out as well. Obviously, one thing, they're getting back Deion Waiters. You know, how much of a positive is that? You know,
it's kind
of, you know, Hassan Whiteside, what are we going to get with him? Could Dragic be traded? You know, I think there's potential for Miami to blow it up, especially if their season isn't going well. And then you could sneak in, you know, maybe the Nets. Who would be another team you consider to get the eighth seed in the East?
I hate to say it, but it'd probably be the Hornets.
Yeah.
I think they look kind of juiced up so far in preseason.
I love Miles Bridges so far.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, crazy athletic. It feels like he can definitely contribute right now. Kemba is Kemba. I think Borrego, I don't know, I feel like Borrego has kind of instilled like a new, I don't know, kind of a new life in this team. You know, this is a head coaching change I think was actually needed. Like, it just feels like they needed a change. I think Borrego might be able to kind of push this team a little bit farther. Obviously, they've been, you know, in this 9-10 range the last 3 years, but I could see them competing for that eight spot.
Yeah, and then obviously I think he's willing to unlock Malik Monk a little bit more, just having more talent out there. At the very least, I feel like the Hornets are going to be a lot more fun this season than they were the last few.
Agreed. And I have the Nets right behind them as well, just so you know.
I appreciate it. So
higher than the Cavs.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, you think the Cavs can maybe sneak in. I'm not really sold on the Cavs. I just think from a playmaking perspective and then from a defensive perspective, there's some definitely issues to consider.
J.R. Smith will be answering podium questions for that team. Just realize that. That's what the Cavaliers are at.
Moving on to the West, where it's really going to get exciting. Starting number one, you know, we don't really have to discuss it. Unless you think it's not going to be the Warriors, who do you, you know, you're going with Golden State to?
I have to go with Golden State because I would lose all credibility if I went with anyone else.
I think there's an argument could be made that they might not get one seed just because they're not really concerned about it. Like they said, they don't care about preseason at all. So I think, you know, there's a chance they might not get it, but I think with all the talent they have and then just having DeMarcus Cousins and like we've talked about in the preview series, you know, they'll have the opportunity to really just rest guys when they don't feel like playing or they have the smallest of injury. Number two, who you got?
Houston Rockets. I think they're still going to be a top two team. I don't think they're going to be as high as they were last year, but they're going to be right at the top.
Yeah, I agree. I think Houston is still going to strive to be a number one seed and win as many games as possible because they know if they have any type of chance of beating Golden State in a seven-game series, they're going to need home court. And I think some of the new pieces are going to fit in a little better than people are anticipating.
I agree with that as well. I don't know. I feel like it's going to work. I like James Ennis. You know, Trevor Ariza was a key part of that team, but it's not like he had a great year last year. You know, I mean, offensively, his numbers can be replaced. I like the nucleus of that team.
Yeah, I think the one thing, like offensively, I'm not really worried much at all. I think defensively is going to be the concern if, you know, if guys can take strides and put in that extra effort. Now, who you got at number three?
Now, I changed this because I guess I'm on a high. I'm going with the Lakers at three.
Ooh.
And this also is what can kind of push my narrative of LeBron James being a dark horse for MVP. He gets the Lakers to be a three seed with that team out west and plays, you know, 74 games still. So I'm saying Lakers three.
Wow, I have the Lakers a couple more spots down, which we'll get to. I'm going with the Utah Jazz. I just like that team basketball. I don't think Rudy Gobert is going to miss as big a stretch as he did last season. And then obviously I think Donovan Mitchell is going to take another stride. And hopefully Dante Exum's healthy and he can give them some major push too.
Yeah, for me, I have the Utah Jazz one spot lower. I have them at number four. I think they're going to be healthy. They're going to be an incredibly tough defensive-minded team. I still think the offense is going to be questionable. And at times you're going to struggle to score points. But I still think they're a home court advantage team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would like them in the top four. Now, for my number four, I think I got a little risky. I think this is where it really got messed up for me because originally I had OKC, but now Russell Westbrook not being guaranteed for the start of the season, then Andre Roberson being out, you know, a couple months more, I moved them down a couple slots. So I have the Denver Nuggets, which I feel like is a reach, but offensively they're going to be incredible. And I think having Paul Millsap for an entire season should help them a lot defensively. And then I think, you know, going in the offseason, a lot of players in that team had to realize defense needs to improve.
Wow. It's a bold one, Nick, but I like it because it makes me feel better about who I have fifth. But I like that. I think the Nuggets have that kind of team on paper.
And if we're being honest, like, there's really wasn't much of a difference between 3-8 last year in the West. It was like at most a couple games. So I think, you know, they have a lot of depth in that team. And I feel like IT is actually going to be healthy. It's just like offensively, they're going to dominate. It's just defense. Can they get anything out of that squad? And if Mike Malone really doesn't get them to improve defensively, I think he could be out as the coach in Denver.
I agree.
Now on to number five.
For me, I have the New Orleans Pelicans at five.
That's who I have as well. You know, definitely I think we're both super high in AD. We're really impressed with Jrue Holiday last year. Nikola Mirotic, you know, really fit well with that team. Then bringing in Julius Randle. I think the only concern with them is Elfrid Payton, who has looked pretty good in preseason. I know in practice he's done a good job. And I think they might be able to acquire a point guard if needed.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're in good shape for the most part. The Julius Randle addition I think is going to be so good. And Okafor looked decent before he got hurt.
Yeah, and no, shout out to him. I know he mentioned dealing with mental health issues and how, you know, he's dealt with them. The Nets recommended it and he kind of pushed it away a little bit, which is understandable. And now with New Orleans, he, you know, he realized that he needed to do something about it and feels like it's really impacted him. And he looks like he's in great shape. So maybe he can kind of, you know, rejuvenate that career.
For sure.
And also at number six, who you got?
Number six, this is where I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. I had them initially fourth, and I dropped them down after I got the notification today that Westbrook is uncertain for the start of the season. And then, as we mentioned, you know, Roberson missing and having a setback as well. I think this team might be in some trouble.
Yeah, I think they'll probably start a little bit slow and then bounce back when everyone's healthy. And like you said, even if Westbrook misses a couple games, I think when he comes back, he won't be 100%. He hasn't even been fully practicing yet, so it's going to be a little bit of time. So I have the Lakers in this spot. And like I said before, I wouldn't be surprised if they can move up a couple spots higher. But I think, you know, going to the season, you know, they look good in preseason, but that is just preseason. Chemistry-wise, they're going to need to adjust to each other. And I think there's still a little bit of question at center. You know, McGee's good, but he's not going to play a full game. They don't necessarily have a center that's going to shoot a ton of threes for them. I know Mo Wagner can, but I don't know if they'll play the rookie a lot.
That's a good point as well.
Looking at number seven, who you got?
Number seven for me is the San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh.
Even though losing Murray was a big loss, I can't go against Pop yet. I just can't. They still have DeRozan and they still have LaMarcus Aldridge, which is one more all-star than they had last season. So I'm still rolling with this veteran-led squad to make it into the playoffs.
And I think DeMar is a guy that can kind of take up some of the playmaking duties. I know he improved in that area last year with Toronto, so maybe Pop can get some more out of him. I'm going to go with OKC here. Like you mentioned, I had OKC higher, but due to the injuries, I'm going to drop them down to seven. I think they'll get the ship right before the playoffs, and they're going to be a really annoying team to face in the first round.
So now we're at number eight.
This is a tough one.
And there's three or four people listening right now for these fan bases, the Nuggets, Blazers, Wolves, and maybe even the Mavericks. I know they got a lot of hype, and they're all saying, are we going to make the playoffs? For me, the eighth seed is the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think this is their year. I think they finally sneak in. I mean, they were 10 games over 500 last year, and they missed.
And they lost on the last game of the season last year.
Exactly. In an overtime battle to the Timberwolves, who I have not making the playoffs, along with the Portland Trail Blazers. So I think the Nuggets going at eighth, as you mentioned earlier when you had them going fourth, right?
Yep.
You know, they're crazy deep. A lot of offense. The defense is going to be the question mark. A couple guys who can be, you know, most improved as well, and Jamal Murray. I like that team flipping into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you look at Denver as you have guys like Murray, Gary Harris Jr., you know, Jokic, as guys that can improve and get better, and they're already very good players, so taking another stride could really help that squad. Number eight is super tough, like you said. For me, you know, the Timberwolves, I think they're going to end up trading Jimmy, and that's going to kind of knock them out of the playoff hunt. So it's between the Blazers and the Spurs. It's tough. I think the Blazers are going to deal with some of that negative vibe from last year in the playoffs, and that's really going to hurt them. There's been rumblings of a ton of trade rumors, and I think some of the bench pieces they lost, I know they brought in Seth Curry, but he's had trouble staying healthy. You know, at that backup center spot, not having Ant Davis, I think will really hurt them. So I'm going to go with the Spurs, you know, like you picked them at seven. I like them at number eight. I think, like you said, betting against Pop is very hard. Having DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, even though they shoot a ton from mid-range, I think they'll still be a tough out for any team on a regular season basis.
For sure. And Rudy Gay is supposed to be healthy too for them.
Yeah, and he looked good, you know, at the end of last season. You saw some nice moments from him. If he has a full offseason to kind of get that Achilles right, that's a nice boost for them. And they just have a ton of veterans, and like R.C. Buford, I'm sure, will bring in somebody. Maybe it's a G League guy. Like, they brought in Jonathan Simmons a few years ago to fill in that point guard spot and maybe have a nice reserve. And they have Patty Mills, obviously, there. And like I mentioned, DeMar DeRozan, I think, can pick up some of the slack. Any other West teams you want to mention?
I mean, I think the Mavericks are going to be interesting. But, again, that's not a team that's going to be in the playoffs, even though some people believe they could be an eight seed.
I think there's a possibility there, but the West is so tough. And I think I would give the Grizzlies some consideration, just because they're a veteran squad, if Conley and Gasol can stay healthy. Now,
I'd agree with that.
Who do you have winning the East?
Winning the East and making it to the finals?
Yes. So who's Boston your finals matchup? Yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals matchup? Or the NBA?
Yeah, the entire NBA Finals. Who's your matchup?
It's the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors.
Same thing over here. I think that's an easy pick right now, unless some injuries or something were to happen. I think a lot of people are going to go with that. I would say the Raptors are probably a close second for the East. In terms of the West, I really don't see anyone beating Golden State. You know, Houston will have a shot if there's an injury, like I mentioned. But, you know, right now it's looking like Boston and Golden State. Now, what's the final of that series?
I'm going to say Warriors in five.
Okay.
I almost want to say Warriors in six, but I think DeMarcus Cousins is healthy by then, and I think there's just too much. There's just too much there on that Warriors team. But I think the Celtics are deep enough to at least steal one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Warriors in six. I think Boston will have a couple games where they're able to just grind out two wins, you know, and make it interesting. Even with DeMarcus Cousins there, I think they're super deep. And one thing about Boston, you know, they're going to get better as the season progresses because they have a lot of young guys like Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And where you look at Golden State, you know, they have a lot of great players. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD, and DeMarcus Cousins, if he's healthy, which is a big question mark, you know, they're not going to improve dramatically. I think after the finals, we're going to be like, all right, we're hoping for a rematch next year, and maybe Boston could even make a stride, or maybe they'll go out and make a move and sign a big-time player.
For sure.
Any other final thoughts on the playoffs or any surprises you're anticipating?
I mean, I would just say, like, I have the Sixers as a dark – not the Sixers. The Milwaukee Bucks as a dark horse to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think that's
a possibility with Budenholzer going over there, Antetokounmpo possibly having an MVP year. I think if everything went right, that team could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. Or we're looking at, you know, the first round last year in the playoffs between the Celtics and Bucks being a Eastern Conference Finals matchup going 7-2, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think Coach Bud's a guy I didn't mention before, but I think he might be in the mix of Coach of the Year, especially if they're able to get a third seed or something, you know, win 50-plus games, and Giannis looks like an MVP. And that all, you know, he hasn't really had a great coach over there. So getting a guy like Coach Bud, and they've looked good in preseason, adding some of the veterans they did in Brook Lopez and Ilian Sova, I think they could be a really nice team to watch and a team that no one's really going to want to face in the playoffs when you have a player like Antetokounmpo.
Agreed.
Any last thoughts prediction-wise you want to get out there before we get out of here, Corey?
Now that's going to wrap it up.
That's going to wrap it up. And like I mentioned before, we're going to do a storyline podcast as well over the next day or two. We're going to touch on every team and our most intriguing storyline. And like Corey mentioned earlier, make sure you check out the preview series. We took time to record every single team. We had over 20 different guests on to specialize in their team. So it was really fun. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.